say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, my friends. Beautiful, beautiful day here in Kingman, Arizona. Still dry as a bone around this neck of the woods, but been a little cold. Warming up pretty good this next week. We've been down in the mid-20s at night and high temperatures around 30, 35, 40 in the daytime. This next week, well, we're going to be pushing it up close to, 60-some degrees. Great travel here in the Southwest in the desert. Speaking of travel, next week I'll be in Burbank, California.
66 situation. We live in a generic world. We have 500 friends on Facebook.
Hey,
we've never met, and when we do meet them, we realize we don't even want to have coffee with them.
Hey, Casey, we're and getting a little bit of feedback.
There's other highways.
There we go, Casey. We had a little bit of feedback going. Are you with us, Casey?
It's the I'm people here, that really give this Route 66 experience such a vibrancy.
Is that better?
I agree.
We've got a feedback going from a previous program, it sounds like. Trying to get Casey Claypool is going to be our guest this morning. She's the director of the Illinois Scenic Byways and owner of Docks just off to 66 in Girard, Illinois. And I think you're going to really like this a little bit. I'm not sure what kind of problems we were having, but we'll get this straightened out. As I was mentioning, next week I'll be in Burbank, California, at Auto Books Arrow Books, 2900 Magnolia Boulevard. Great little bookstore. Been there since the 1950s. They're going to be doing a little bit of a road trip day. And, I'm going to have some Route 66 stuff there. I'll be answering your questions, doing what I do best, telling people where to go.
How's that, Jim?
Oh, that's better, Miss Casey. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
You know me. I'd have to be dead a week for it to get better than this.
I know. I hear you. At least it's a little warmer there by you, I hope.
Oh, you know, yeah, we had about 2 weeks of what we consider cold weather down around the 20s at night and 39, 40 during the day. But this this week, well, we're going to be up 65 most days.
Well, I think we're about a balmy negative 11 right now.
Oh, I paid dues in the North Country, Minnesota, Michigan, Montana. No, thank you.
Yeah. It's quite cold.
It gets below 80 now. I look for my long underwear.
You know, my mom is in Arizona and I had a picture of her the other day and, head to toe, you know, looked like cold weather gear. And I think it was 60 there.
Yeah, it's the biggest problem we've got out here, and we have had for about 10 years or more, but it's really bad, is so dry. We're going to be hunting jerky instead of deer, I guarantee you. It's I don't think we've had real measurable, more than just a spit and drizzle since probably the last 3 months.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Miss Casey, you know, I had the distinct privilege on our fall tour to stop in and have dinner with you at Docks.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, you have really, I know you've been doing pinata impersonations with this project, God, I tell you, you've really created something special there.
Well, thank you very much. Those words from you, especially coming from you, Jim, are very much appreciated. You know, we couldn't have done what we did without the solid bones that was there, without the history that was there, without this amazing three generation family that, had the foresight to save and keep everything, you know. I know I've been on your show before and we've talked about docs, but if it's okay, I'll give a real quick kind of
backstory,
you know. I am the executive director of Illinois Route 66, so I oversee the road from Chicago down to the Chain of Rocks Bridge. We're kind of a member organization, so we work with small businesses. And back in mid-2021, my husband and I were out on a weekend, or maybe it was even just a day Route 66 trip. Just going out and talking to members, and we stumbled upon Doc's Soda Fountain in Girard. And walked in and just kind of, you know, thought it was a really neat business. We did look around, though, and we saw that it was in a community that was struggling, like so many Route 66 communities are struggling. But left there and, you know, thought, wow, that place is really cool. And I think it was one of our favorite stops that day. And, you know, a few weeks later, we found out it was going up for sale. And my husband thought I was nuts. I said, this is an awesome opportunity for us. We both have restaurant and bar backgrounds, so it wasn't as scary as it might be for someone that doesn't have those backgrounds. But we had several discussions. We got married in August of 21, and on our honeymoon, we decided to buy Doc's. And yeah, nothing like getting married and then buying a business and doing it all at one time.
Oh, nothing like starting a marriage off with a good old fashioned stress test.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and hey, I'll tell you, there's been stressors along the way, obviously, but the one thing we did say, it would never come between us. So luckily, it has not. It has, you know, tested us, I think, at times, but I think that makes a marriage stronger. But you know, I'll be honest with you, when we bought the place and we got in there. One of the biggest things for me, one of the most attractive things for me, and I think, I don't know if this makes me nuts, it probably does, but was the fact that it was in a community that needs revitalization. You know, there's 90 communities here in Illinois that Route 66 traverses, and 82 of them are rural, under 2,500 population. And many of those were once thriving communities, and that's just not the case anymore. So when I saw Doc's, I heard about the history, there was so much potential that we took a risk. We took a big risk. And here we are. So we've been open. Well, we purchased the business in December of 21. So we have owned it for over 2 years now. We opened in June of 22. So we'll be hitting our 2 year mark in June.
It's a lot of the small towns, not just along Route 66, but rural communities in general, they've been on the skids probably since at least World War II. They've struggled. And the Route 66 communities, though, they have something unique, and that is Route 66 as a catalyst for revitalization and development. And they need people with ambition and vision, such as yourself, your husband, and your family. That sometimes when we see the same thing every day, we don't see it anymore. Right. And so they need somebody with vision and passion and ambition that sees something special to kind of remove the scales from their eyes so they can see what's exciting in their town.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you. And, you know, one of the things that we've done down there, I think, is just what you said. I think it's just opened people's eyes to the potential. One thing I have, and man, I am so lucky, is I have more volunteers and more friends. I'm going to call them all friends because we've made friends with all of them that want to help with these efforts. You know, so many of them are like, hey, Casey, we don't want to lead anything, but if you tell us what to do, we are there. And, you know, it's evident. And just like when we have our cruise-ins, we started cruise-ins this summer, I had more volunteers there helping me than I needed. But it was wonderful because it gave me a vision of, you know what, once we start some major revitalization efforts, I'm not going to be hurting for help. The community is not going to be hurting for help. I have seen the residents of Girard come out of the woodwork and support us day in and day out. Jim, I am floored with the regular customer base we have already created in just the year and a half we're open.
Well, this is the thing too. You know, people are really tired of the generic world, if you will. And there is a return to the mom and pops. People want something personal. People, the old fashioned like Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Mm-hmm. That's what people want. And something unique. You can go, if I blindfold a person and put them in Burger King in Springfield, Illinois, or Kingman, Arizona, they can't tell the difference.
Absolutely.
You walk in Doc's and you know that you're in for something really different.
Yeah. And you know, that was, we would have never opened Doc's had it not been for that history. Because who needs another just restaurant? You know, so many restaurants open and they close 6 months, a year later, because they don't have that destination. They don't have that, there's got to be another reason to go to a place. And I realized that just being on 66, I'm not just catering to the residents of Girard and the surrounding communities. I'm, you know, 8 months out of the year, I'm catering to the Route 66 traveler, and the Route 66 traveler wants something different. And man, this past summer, Jim, I think we counted some 25 some different countries come into Doc's. And think about that. Think about 25 different countries represented in Girard, Illinois.
Yeah, you know, Route 66, I'm very seldom at a loss for words, but it's hard to find adequate words to describe what Route 66 has evolved into. It's just what you said. Here's Girard, Illinois, a faded little farm town that was always a small town in rural Illinois, and all of a sudden, it's a stop. It's a destination. You have people like, well, of course, Marian Pavel from Slovakia.
Yeah.
Promoting and helping promote businesses in Girard, Illinois.
Yeah. It's you know, we're in his passport. And I, you know, I'm hoping to be in it again this year. Him and I haven't quite touched base on that yet, but that was, you know, what he does for us and all the businesses along 66 is just tremendous. And, you know, I can't get over the amount of support that the international traveler brings to this road. You know, I think I work closely with Springfield, and I think they had 75 different countries represented that or came in through their visitor center this past summer. 75 different countries, and I said 25 countries down at Doc's. I'm sure I missed a few, but yeah, it's just tremendous.
Well, Scott Dahl up there in Springfield, he's got, like you, he's got an infectious enthusiasm and a passion, and he's starting to sell everything on the hog, including the squeal up there. He's getting really, really going. But you know, Doc's, I had to apologize a little because we were trying to have a conversation. I was trying to enjoy the delicious food, and I kept getting distracted by all the fascinating displays you have in that place.
Yeah. Everything's original. To Dex Drugstore that opened up in 1884. The pharmacy was put in probably early 1900s. Had the first licensed pharmacist in 1917. And the Dex family that ran that business until 2001, they kept bottles. They kept old medicines. I've got an area in there that is, all the medicines are full. They have liquids in them. They have pills in them. I have an apothecary cabinet that was left just as it was left when they were done using it. You know, we actually, this past November went to New Orleans, and there's a pharmacy museum in New Orleans. And my husband and I walked in and we were like, oh my gosh, it's like walking into Doc's. We had the same cash register, the same bottles, the same pill making, all the mortars. I mean, I was blown away. And at that point, I kind of took a step back and I was like, man, we have something here in the Midwest that you can't find unless you go down to New Orleans. You know, I've been doing research, trying to find old soda fountains, trying to find pharmacy museums, and there's one in Germany too. So we got one in Girard, Illinois, and one in New Orleans.
The one in Germany, up in at the old castle in Heidelberg.
Mm-hmm.
I went through that, and yeah, that is really something. We're talking 1,000 years of medical evolution.
Yeah,
that's pretty bizarre. Your pharmacy, though, I tell you, the first thing I thought of with your displays and the things you've uncovered is thank God for hoarders.
Hey, and people, you know what? the Deck family, yeah, I think they would have been called hoarders. But yeah, thank God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was just telling some customers, I found a sack, a brown paper sack upstairs of checks, canceled checks from the late 1890s. I mean, I'm talking thousands of checks, and they're gorgeous. They're beautiful just because the handwriting was so beautiful. You know, I have their registers. I have their actual daily registers of their sales going all the way back to 1884. You know, just hoping upon hopes that I find some S&H Green stamps up there, which, you know, maybe you and I can talk about that in a little bit too. But you know, those are nostalgic, and everybody had those. And the family also saved newspapers. I mean, year after year, month after month, day after day, they save newspapers. And I have, if I want to know what was going on in 1905 in Girard, I just have to go upstairs.
Isn't that just such, yeah. God, that's amazing. Oh, you mentioned S&H Green stamps. Boy, now we're going to start dating ourselves. For well, us maybe folks.
Maybe you, Jim.
For us folks, let's put it this way. For folks like me that actually remember New Edsels, S&H Green stamps were a big part of just American life.
Yeah.
And I understand that they're like Stuckey's. They're reviving the company, and that you're a big part of that.
Yeah. You know, I met Stephanie several years ago. She inspired me to do a lot of what I'm doing right now. And I mean that very, very truthfully. She is amazing. I think that what she is doing is so courageous, and, you know, her family has got to be just so proud of her. But along the same lines and the same time frame, this gentleman named Carl has purchased and is reviving S&H Green stamps. And actually, him and Stephanie went on a nationwide tour about a year ago. They had an RV, and one side was wrapped with Stuckey's, one side was wrapped with S&H Green stamps, and a movement has started. I remember S&H Green stamps. I only remember my grandma's collecting them. That's about the extent. But when I saw them resurface, I immediately reached out to the CEO and I said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I think S&H Green stamps and Route 66 is a natural fit. So let's do something. And I have recently partnered, the Byway has recently partnered with S&H Green Stamps, and we will be working to revive that rewards program. And one of the very first customers that is taking advantage of that in Illinois is Docks Just Off 66 in Girard. So I'm really excited because the concept is the same. The one thing that's different is nonprofits and small businesses can benefit from S&H Green stamps. They're not doing these big corporations and things like that. They realize that the small business owner needs a rewards program that's not going to break them. Something that, you know, isn't going to cost them thousands of dollars a year to give back to their customers. And, you know, for Docks, it's the perfect marriage of nostalgia. And we really hope, and I hope, Jim, that in another year I'm on here talking to you about S&H Green stamps again and what the Byway and them have done together and the launch across the nation, because they were popular. They can be popular again. You know, there's $300 million in unclaimed stamps out there.
Oh.
$300 million. I mean, I bet $150 million of them are on eBay. And if I had to tell people to do one thing, and that is go on eBay and buy those. And don't quote me on this, but I think the company's got some plans to do something with those uncashed S&H green stamps.
It would be very smart of them to do that. You know, this is interesting on two levels. People like yourself and your husband, your family, you're rewriting new chapters in Route 66 history, in Girard history, in Dex history, and now nationally with like S&H green stamps. I think as we get closer to the centennial, and it won't be limited just to Route 66, but I think you're going to see a lot of this nostalgia-driven revival.
Yes. Yeah. You know what, Jim? It has to happen because the nostalgia that these businesses bring, the nostalgia that something like S&H Green Stamps brings or Docs, it's that sense of community. It's that sense of I'm helping my neighbors. I'm helping the people that are helping grow my community. And, you know, I think that within the last couple years, most people realize McDonald's doesn't need our extra help. You know, Walmart doesn't need our extra help. But when you're sitting there on a Friday night and you're thinking about driving up to Springfield to go to Longhorn Steakhouse, you know, we're slowly getting our communities to realize, you know, we've got everything we need right here. And why do I have to go to Springfield? I can drive to Girard and I can go on the square and I can enjoy, you know, just good basic down-to-home food, a interesting atmosphere, and we're supporting local families.
Yeah. You know, I still have not given up. In fact, you have rekindled my quest to create a rolling information center, Route 66 information center, for not just Route 66, but take it as a roadshow and make it into a studio as well as a promotional vehicle, literally.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You revived my interest in that.
You know what, Jim? I don't know where you find your time. I'd say that with, because people say that to me all the time. They're like, I don't know how you find any time to do anything. Well, anybody that's out there that knows me knows that that's true. I'm nonstop, but you have got me beat.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I know about that. You do. You have got me beat. But, you know, as I've told you before, you've been a great mentor to me. And, you know, we've been friends now a couple years. And, you know, we do work on some side projects together, or at least we're trying to. And, you know, we're lucky to have this relationship. And I think everybody along 66 and beyond would be lucky. And they would benefit from that. That gym, that rolling information. I mean, my God, that would be tremendous.
Well, I've got this 51 Chevy panel truck sitting in my driveway. The project's been on hold for a little bit, but that was the goal when I bought this. And the more I work on it, the more I realize I'm not 20 anymore. but no, you know, this whole thing, not just on Route 66, but all the way across the board, is building a network of cooperative partnerships. Right. That's key. But Route 66, and Michael Wallace put it very nice when he said it was a linear community.
Yeah.
But Route 66 is more. It's also America's longest theme park, living history museum. And it's a huge family. We've got everybody from cross-dressing uncles to you name it that show up for Thanksgiving dinner. Right. And we find ways to work together, to get along together, and to build these partnerships.
Yeah, it's amazing. Partnerships, you know, even just as a small business owner, and let's put the byway aside, as a small business owner along Route 66, one of the things I've really focused on doing is promoting those businesses around me. You know, I'm very active on social media, and I don't, you know, yet while I post a lot of what we do every day, I also post my friends up and down the road. I post mm-hmm. the other businesses I meet, you know, people when they come to Dodge, packs and they say they're on a road trip. You know, I've become good friends with the people down in Staunton at Country Classic Cars, Wayne and Tanya at Pink Elephant. I force people to go there. Please go, take the time, make the stop, because you will not be disappointed. And along with verbally telling people to do that, posting those things on social media, you're now drumming up your own business, because people are going to say, hey, I got to go see that place. But on the way, I think I'm going to stop at Doc's and then we'll go down to the Pink Elephant and, you know, spend 4 hours going through all the antiques that they have there. And I've started, and our first meeting is in about 2 weeks. I started a business after hours, and really my focus is businesses within 20 miles of Girard. And I know business after hours aren't new. People have done them forever. But small business after hours, I think, are new. And I think the concept of small business owners supporting small business owners, I think that's new too, because everybody for the longest time, it was all about what can I do for myself? I got to make sure I succeed. Well, if we can change that mindset into what can I do with my friends along the road, with the other businesses along the road and in the adjoining communities, what can we do together to drum up business? Brett Barnes at Whirlwhip in Girard, he's been there. He just passed his 66th year on Route 66. Ooh. And you know, many people said, oh my gosh, Case, you guys are going to come in and you're going to have to work against each other. Well, absolutely not, because his food's different than my food. His ice cream's different than my ice cream. And he just reached out to me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, let's get our heads together. What can we do together to benefit both of our businesses and Girard? And I'm really pushing for that revival, not just in Girard, but in a probably multi-county area here in central Illinois.
When you put together that, like you said, 20-mile radius type thing, you're forging links and creating a chain. Yep. If somebody else did that in, say, Staunton, and they put together a 20-mile radius link, and we put that together all the way across the country, imagine the strength and power we would have for a marketing, for promotion, for supporting businesses. And exactly what you said, if you do well in Girard, I'm going to do well in Kingman, because we got a road that connects us.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's part of the, not to go back to this, but the thought process behind the S&H Green Stamps launch and the partnerships is that's exactly what that is meant to do. It is meant to foster relationships. And because the thought process is, oh, I can go to Docs and I can get stamps. I can go down to the Pink Elephant and I can get stamps. I can go down to DeCamp Station and I can get stamps. And you've now created an entire network of people that are promoting each other, because they realize that as these people collect stamps, that's more money in our pockets.
Yeah. You mentioned the Pink Elephant down there. You know, Route 66 has always been about unique, different, quirky, finding ways to make a buck. And the Pink Elephant, I'll tell you, that's another one where words really escape me. That is another place that you just really got to see and experience to believe.
Absolutely. And Jim, make sure I get you the contact information for the new owners when we get offline. They took over, I think, maybe just a little over a year ago, and man, they are just killing it down there. The things that they are doing, they didn't just buy the Pink Elephant and they're keeping business as usual. They bought the Pink Elephant with the intention of becoming a nationwide, international, worldwide destination. And they're doing so many awesome things. They're Byway members. So, we love that they're so active along the community, but, I hope Wayne, and or Tanya you'll get them on your show, because I don't want to share what they're doing, but, they're doing some really cool things down there.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, and these places can be international destinations. Cindy and Tony, they've got the Jackrabbit Trading Post out near Joseph City, Arizona. One family owned for 60 plus years, and it's just they've unchanged, and it's a destination. And then you have people like Louis Keane down at Uranus in Missouri.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's another story.
Oh, and his newspaper just, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I was just there this past summer and, you know, we took our 13-year-old in there and I think she thought we were nuts. She just was like, what is going on in this place? But what an awesome stop there in Missouri.
Well, you know, this situation and Illinois is really become a leader. Illinois and Oklahoma and Missouri is running a close third, I'd say, of really building this interactive network and turning Route 66 into a catalyst for economic development and for rural community revitalization.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're lucky, though, Jim. The reason that happens is because, you know, Oklahoma has people like Reese and Kerry, which I think either carries on today after me or later in the week. Her and I actually have a Zoom together on Tuesday because, you know, we need to share ideas and work together. Here in Illinois, I've got CVB directors up and down the route that just go above and beyond to help promote 66 and make it, well, we're the number two travel destination in the state of Illinois next to Abraham Lincoln. That's not too darn bad.
No, especially because they're linked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Kerry Barrick from Oklahoma Department of Commerce and the Oklahoma Association will be with us on Sunday morning, the 28th.
Awesome. Yeah, she's great. Man, she's got some drive.
Well, and you mentioned Reese. That's a new generation coming up. Us old farts, you know, it's great to see some new blood coming along with different ideas and concepts. But, you know, docs, I got to go back to docs, though. You know, not only is it fascinating, but the food was delicious. And now you're doing live music, too, occasionally?
Yeah, we've started. Well, we've just, you know, Jim, we had a month and a half, couple months that were a little rough, which, I think that's normal. And I needed to kind of think of ways to drum up new business. And you know, we did our cruise-ins. Our cruise-ins are awesome. We'll start those again in April, but I can't do a cruise-in in the middle of January, obviously. So, I don't know that those guys want their cars out in this weather. But so we went the live music route. And we've always had a lady play the accordion every Friday and Saturday night for us since we've opened. No lyrics or anything, just sound. But we've started branching out to some young artists in the area and asking them to come and play. And it's been excellent. It's been wonderful. I think that people, they don't always want to be in the bar scene. They don't always want to have to go to a bar to listen to live music. We're not open late or anything like that, you know. So it's been good for us. It really has.
And that's another example of building community because you're bringing in local talent and letting people showcase their gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's really important.
Yeah. I want to share a bit of I heard your conversation with Scott a couple weeks ago and you guys were talking about the brick road in Auburn.
Yes.
And I wanted to give you a little clarification on that because I knew you guys both kind of talked about it, but that 1.4 mile stretch was porcelain cement in 1926. And it was like that until roughly 1930. And then they extended Route 4 to its east. And that 1.4 mile stretch was no longer active 66. And in the early 1930s, that's when they overlaid it with brick. Not many people know that. And I know you were kind of inquiring about it. And we have a lot of people ask about it. So, they did overlay over the cement, but it wasn't until after that east stretch was added.
Well, you know, I have not, it's odd how these stories will overlap, if you will.
Yeah.
I have not dug deeper into this yet. I haven't had an opportunity, But short version, long story, a while back I did a book on the Checker Cab Manufacturing Company. And Morris Markin, the founder of Checker, there was some questionable dealings, shall we say. And he got involved with a situation where he was under indictment. They couldn't find him, even though he was running a business in Chicago. The governor pardoned him, and then the governor later got in trouble for basically handing out pardons and overlooking indiscretions. And in that, my studies on Morris Markin, I found a note that some family members of the governor had a brick factory and had been paid by the state to, it was questioned, editorials, why they were putting bricks over perfectly good concrete paving.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that that might have something to do with the stretch there at Auburn.
Yeah, that very well could be. I hadn't heard that, but yeah, that very well could be the story there. But what a popular stretch of road, and we are so honored to have that bit there, just north of me in Auburn, just north of Docks.
Hey, I got a question that just popped up here, and it's a good one. I don't have an answer. So many communities around Springfield have a connection to Abraham Lincoln. There's a question here. Is there any association with Abraham Lincoln and Girard?
From our research, no. And Looking for Lincoln is a nonprofit organization that knows everything about Lincoln inside and out. And on the surface, no, there is no connection. You know, he's very active from Springfield North, along parts of 66, but to my knowledge, no.
Well, you know, that's a marketing opportunity in itself. Oh, Girard, you could advertise Girard, the only community in Illinois without a Lincoln connection.
Well, no, because there's a lot more.
Yes.
But we did, you know, up at the experience there on the fairgrounds, we did do some overlapping. We did share a lot of those locations that overlap with Route 66. So if people are curious, when they go up to the experience, as they walk through those sheds, they'll be able to see, where Lincoln and Route 66 overlapped.
Yeah. I was very privileged. This last trip, I got to see the, experience for the first time. And they were filming some promotional materials there, and they had a Lincoln reenactor. It was perfect timing. It was a beautiful sunset, the experience, and I had pictures of Abraham Lincoln enjoying the neon exhibits.
Yeah, yeah, we're lucky. He's always roaming around Springfield, and you know, that experience has. We still have a little more to do. I just recently received some additional grant funds to do just a little more work up there. And I'll be doing quite a bit that will tie the other Route 66 communities into the experience. And we've been really lucky with the support we've gotten for that project. And I think once the advertising comes full circle, it's really going to start to benefit the small businesses along the road.
Yes, yes. Well, Illinois, you've done you're doing a marvelous job. And of course, with your spearheading this, the scenic byways, linking these communities together and making Route 66 a destination in the state. I knew it was one of the top destinations. I did not realize that Route 66 was that far up the list far as a destination in Illinois.
Yeah,
that's pretty astounding. Do you have any? What's your next plans for Docks? May I ask?
Well, you know, I have all kinds of plans for Docks, but I think that my husband would like me to keep those.
I gotcha.
To myself. No, you know, we really would. my next big focus, Jim, is revitalization in Girard, because that's what's going to allow me to do more for docs. I need to, I've been working on some revitalization efforts, working here shortly to get a committee together to start figuring out what are the next steps in revitalizing this downtown. We did receive a large Route 66 monument just a few months ago, and it sits on the square, and that's been a huge draw for not just travelers, but locals. But that next step, you know, we're at that point where we need to revitalize Girard in order for docs to continue and succeed. People are going to look to docs and be like, okay, are you thriving? Are you successful? Okay, yes, a business can sustain itself down here. Let's look at bringing our business to Girard. So while I have all kinds of thoughts in my head as to what I want to do next, I think that focusing on the revitalization of Girard, that downtown community, getting new businesses in there, fixing up, storefronts and windows and facades, I think that's really important. I will say, I hope to one day be able to open up a back patio behind Girard. Or behind docks, excuse me. I've got a beautiful brick building that would be an awesome outdoor bar. People could sit. We could do live music out there. And I have plans and I have hopes that one day I can open a Route 66 Illinois products store there on the square. It would kind of be a welcome center, but we'd also focus on Illinois products and bringing things right there to the community that you can't really get anywhere, else, without going all the way up to Springfield. So I have plans. But again, I don't think any of those plans can come to fruition until we actively start seeing some growth, some economic development and change, in the city.
Well, I think that's going to be a little more feasible here in the near future. I am seeing, an increasing number of young people, by young people, I mean under 50, that are tired of basically the rat race. And COVID escalated this. They're looking for something that's a little more meaningful in life. They're looking for small town life, small businesses, and they're turning away from the 9-to-5 corporate world.
Yeah. And
places like Girard, boy, they have a lot to offer somebody with ambition and vision.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that too. I've heard some friends in Chicago that have said, "Man, I love where you guys live." And Steve and I don't live in Girard. We live just about 20 minutes north, right on Route 66, actually. But I hear a lot of people saying, "Hey, I work from home now, and I want nothing more than to get a nice little house with a little bit of land." But they have to be able to have, all of their amenities available. They got to, while you're not going to do your major food shopping on the square in Girard, it sure would be nice to be able to get some, fresh local eggs or jams from, someone just down the road. So, again, I think the potential, the potential there is there in Girard. The people are there. The people that want to see this succeed are there. We just need to kind of get moving. And now that we've been in business a year and a half and business is good, I think others will start to see you can be viable and you can make a living down there.
I would reach out, and this morning I would encourage people that are in crowded Los Angeles that want something simpler to consider Illinois. But I think before I do that, I should wait till the temperature at least climbs to zero.
Yeah.
It's hard to talk people to move from sunny California to, I find this in so many of these towns, and you mentioned local produce, things of that nature. I am seeing a return to that in a lot of small communities as well. Small little co-op markets, things of this nature. On this last trip, I found a lot of that in small rural communities. Not just along Route 66, but Southern Kansas, the Oklahoma Panhandle. One example, of course, I guess is the Wild Hair Cafe. I understand that's going up for sale, but he was selling a lot of local produce and jams, jellies there for a while.
Yes. Do you know that they're Girard residents?
Oh, no, I didn't. Peter and his wife are.
Yes, I had no idea. It was, they came in one day and we just started talking and I knew who they were just through the byway. And I said, well, what the heck are you guys doing down here? You know, you're supposed to be in Elkhart. And they're like, no, we live down here in Girard. I was like, what? So yeah, great people. And it is up for sale. So now's the time. Anyone looking to purchase a Route 66 business?
Take a look at
Elkhart. That's a growing community. It's a growing downtown Route 66 community. The Kahn family opened up Elkhart Station there, and the Wild Hair itself is just a gem of a business.
Yes. Yes, it is. Peter and his wife are just wonderful people. I really hate to see them do that. You know, here's a thought that just popped into my head is, I don't know how you and I, you already have way too many projects. I don't know how you get 30 hours in every 24, but, you know, putting together a source of businesses for sale along Route 66 and opportunities in communities like Girard, a portal, if you will, that shows people what properties are for sale, what incentives are available, if you will, to open a business in some of these little towns.
Right. Well, Jim, you know, I think that might be a, you know, not to talk business, but that could be an addition to, you know, one of the things that you and I've been trying to work on for years here is some economic development materials. And I think that fits very nicely with, the new outline that we've put into place and that we're working on. But I think that's one of the problems I've heard. I think Wheezy's is still available and up for sale there in Hamel. And I'm sure there's several other businesses up for sale. And I like the idea of being able to show what's for sale, but then talk about and share the story of success like Doc.
Well, a Motel Safari, Larry Smith Motel Safari in Tucumcari. I know that's for sale. And he's going on to a couple other projects. Yeah, because, you know, rural communities is a challenge to open a business or for revitalization. But communities along Route 66, the opportunities, because you have the networking, you have the marketing's already done for you, largely. Anything you do will be magnified exponentially internationally. You know, there's no limit. Just because a town is 800 people doesn't mean you can't create a very successful business and a good life for yourself and your family.
Absolutely.
Because of Route 66.
Yeah. And now's the time to start looking and to be serious about buying something with the centennial just, you know, 2 years away. We're going to blink and it's going to be here and there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people coming through Route 66. I don't think people realize the magnitude of this centennial and what it's going to do for these small towns, for these small businesses, and for the road as a whole.
I get myself into trouble sometimes because of the things I tell people, but I was talking in a small community recently about economic development opportunities. Not just tourism is not just heads in beds. It's about showcasing your town. You mentioned facade renovations. Tourism is about showcasing your community to potential future business owners and residents. And I mentioned they were talking about, well, the centennial is still a couple of years away. We haven't got around to that yet. And I says, well, that means that you're not even giving any thought at all to the bicentennial.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Long-term planning. Casey, I won't tie you up, but thank you so much for taking time for your schedule, because I know you're busy, but I've enjoyed this immensely this morning, and you've given me a lot of food for thought, and I have a feeling you've inspired people on and off Route 66. To start looking at, their town just a tad bit different.
Yeah. And I hope they do. I hope they do. And Jim, As always, I tell you this, I love talking to you. You know, we share so many interests, obviously. And you just, you know, you said I inspired you to get thinking about some things. You always inspire me. And I invite anyone that's listening to this podcast to, I hope to see you this summer. I hope you take some time and get out on the road and explore everything that, you know, this amazing road has to offer. And if you end up at Docs, make sure you ask for me, and that's it.
You know, I got one for you. Are you familiar with Jericho, Texas?
I mean, I am simply, you know, from you know, my work with 66, yeah. But yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk to Blanca Schaefer, and this is a story. You talk about taking on the challenges of a small town. And getting exhausted by just like with you, I get exhausted following your exploits. Blanca and her husband have taken on the task of bringing life to Jericho, Texas. Mm. And Jericho, Texas has had a population of zero for the last 50 years. There is literally nothing there. They've delved into the research. They're making incredible plans. They've had cleanup projects. They're hosting events in the old town site of Jericho, and talk about ambitious. These folks have some plans, and what's amazing is they're bringing this stuff to fruition in a literal ghost town. It's going to be kind of interesting, to say the very least, because this like I say, population is zero. The primary property assets are a motel and auto court that's been closed for something like 70 years that has no roof, an old farmhouse, and a 1950 Packard been sitting under a tree probably since Eisenhower was president. So
I think I need to connect with this young lady. I actually just pulled her up on LinkedIn, and she'll be on next weekend, Jim?
Yeah, yep. Okay.
Cool. I want to definitely tune in. That's very interesting. And I think I have heard a little bit about what as soon as you said her name, I had heard of her. So thanks for sharing what she's doing. You know, because someone like me probably could learn a lot from what they're doing.
Well, vice versa. And the idea is networking. And us, you know, like we owe a lot. Everything I've done, I've built on the shoulders of the pioneers, Michael Wallace, Jim Ross, Angel Delgadillo. And there's another generation coming up, Reese Martin and Blanca and others, yourself, that are building on stuff I've done. Right. And, very good. Brady Wilson says that he knows the Schaefer family. They're amazing people, and they're getting Texas State historical markers now.
Oh. Ooh.
So they're moving forward on this. Hey, Brady, since you're here and you're familiar with that area, if you could chime in and let me know how Delbert True is doing, I'd sure be curious. Casey, we'll talk more on some of this, you know, in the next coming weeks. We'll get a time in for a phone call. Absolutely. But another person I'm not sure you're familiar with is Angela Moreland in McLean, Texas. She's another one that is really intriguing. I don't know how she pulled this off. McLean, Texas is dry. It's been dry for, far as I know, pretty much ever. Huh. And somehow she finagled getting a license, and she created a tap room downtown. And McLean is not a ghost town, but it's flirting with it really fast. And the tap room, it was really funny. She also renovated the 1956 Cactus Inn Motel and added an RV park. And I walked into the tap room, and it's literally an old building with no roof. The building is gone. It's all that's left is the exterior walls. And the back half of the building where it used to be the storage, she's roofed that and made that the bar area. The rest of it's an outdoor patio, but it's literally an empty building. There's no roof. There's nothing. And
I have heard of that, what they've done there. And I think that came up at one of our meetings last summer when we were in Albuquerque, actually.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And she's another one, just really under the radar, building partnerships one at a time, getting support from the Texas Route 66 Association, which is being supported by the Oklahoma Route 66 Association. And she's putting McLean on the map. And I don't want to get too long-winded, but McLean is really a fascinating town. We were just talking here with Brady Wilson about Delbert True and his wife. He's got to be well into his 90s now. He was instrumental in pushing McLean, but one of their great claims to fame there is McLean was the last community on Route 66 in Texas to be bypassed. And they had one of their big industries there. They had a brassiere factory, and McLean was known as the uplift capital of America. That was their tongue-in-cheek slogan. And they've turned that into their Route 66 museum and a barbed wire museum.
Huh.
How's that for different?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? It's things like that that bring the people out that they want to see something they can't see anywhere else.
Casey, thank you so much for doing this morning.
Of course, Jim. Anytime.
You give me a holler anytime you want to do some brainstorming or have some therapy after you get tired of doing those pinata impersonations. Next week, thank you for sending that material. I'll be going to Burbank, California next week. I mentioned earlier, Autobooks Aerobooks is on Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank. It's opened in 1953. They relocated up the street about two blocks in 1964. And it's a neat store. Anything to do with automotive or aeronautical books and titles, new and used. Last time I was there, I bought a Dr. Dyke's Diseases of the Gasoline Engine and How to Cure Them, a 1903 automobile repair manual. So we're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to be talking road trips, and I'll be there answering questions, signing books, and talking Route 66. Next week, we'll be talking with Blanca Schaefer about the efforts to bring new life to the town of Jericho. So we got a lot of great things coming down the pike. Also, if you get a chance, I'd like to hear your opinion on Casey on the YouTube series, Jim Inkley's America. I've started In Search of Lost Highways, a series of YouTube videos. And if you get a chance, take a look. I've done four, and I hope to be taking this on the road soon. I've been working here in Western Arizona right now. But see what you think.
Absolutely.
Hey, my friends, thank you so very much for everyone who joined us today. Looks like we've got a great international audience. And Brady Wilson, let's see what we have here. The Schaefers now have a stamp for those that are traveling to bring their Route 66 books to get your stamp. The McLean Alan Reed History Museum. Talking about McLean. They have... the Barbed Wire Museum has a stamp. They'll stamp books, passports. Also, the McLean Alan Reed History Museum. Oh, well, very good. Brady, that's excellent. You and I perhaps should be talking soon. My friends, thank you so very much for taking time out of your Sunday. I hope we've inspired a road trip or two. If you're traveling this next week, please be safe. Dress warm if you're doing anything east of Flagstaff, Arizona. And if it's west of Flagstaff, well, bring your shorts because it's going to get warm. Hey, my friends, a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew. And then I'll bid everyone adios. Miss Casey, I hope you have a great week.
You too, my dear. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say hello to a new friend.
Hey, we want to give a quick shout out. Speaking of businesses, we mentioned Angela Moreland, Cactus Inn Motel and RV Park in McLean. Excellent stop. That's one we need to talk about. And Brady, send me a message. I'd sure like to talk with you about some of the projects in Texas. Let's see. Also, Roadrunner Lodge, Tucumcari, New Mexico. You might I want to check those folks out and spend a little more time than just an overnight stop in Tucumcari. You'll be really surprised. But David Brenner, the Roadrunner Lodge, absolutely wonderful. Connie Eccles, Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. That's another one, a destination for you. And, of course, we mentioned Louis Keen, Uranus. That's a lot of fun. And if you're having trouble planning a Route 66 trip or an outing, well, consider Route Trip USA. They are the bespoke road trip holiday specialist for the United States and Canada. One more for you, too. The only thing, I get a lot of questions about what you need for a Route 66 trip. Well, you should have the Easy 66 Guide by Jerry McClanahan and the Route 66 Navigation app. That's the yellow app. Small subscription price, but it's a great app. It's constantly being updated. The developer of the app spends weeks at a time on the road to ensure the information is correct. And he puts people to work, such as myself, to help develop the point of interest file, to keep it updated, and to keep events posted. So with that said, if you need more good fun, check out the Jim Hinckley's America website. And until we meet again, my friends, well, vaya con Dios and adios.